So we are holding 8 lines from the bottom of Ches on the base. We started talking yesterday about the whole matter. So going back to the Mishnah had mentioned a case where two people are riding an animal, or one person is riding it and the other person is leading it, and they're arguing about who owns it. Then same idea as with the talis. They each swear that they own at least half of it, and they divide it.
Right.
So that led us into a discussion that we said where Yehuda had quoted Shmuel of saying that there was a case of a rochuv and the case of a manhig, somebody who is riding an animal, somebody who's leading an animal. One's koina, one's not, and we had to figure out which one is which.
And we were trying to.
So we were trying to figure. So we said. By the way, Tosis points out that the when you talk about rochuv, there's two possibilities. You can be talking about just somebody who's riding an animal, whether that's considered a valid kinyan in and of itself, just riding it, or is Shmuel talking about a case where you have two people, like in our Mishnah, one riding, one leading, and then the question is which one is the one that's koiner, or which one is the one that has the stronger chazaka?
Depends what kind of animal it is.
No, it doesn't depend what kind of animal it is per se, but it may depend. We did start talking about it in the Gemara yesterday. Part of it will depend on what kind of riding is he doing. Is he just sitting there passively, or is he actually making the animal move by kicking it with his
feet?
Right,
of course, you kick it most.
Right.
Whereas other animals, you have to lead them.
Well, it depends. I mean, we're going to talk today. That a donkey versus a camel. But if we're talking about that he's rochuv and leading with his feet, then that's different. Anyway. So we said then that Rabbi Yehuda had tried to prove from a Mishnah from a case in Kalayim that we say that if somebody is sitting in a wagon which is being pulled by two animals that are Kalayim, a horse and an ox or whatever, two animals that are Kalayim with each other, the one who's sitting in the wagon is not Chayiv Malchus for it. We said Rameyer would say he's Chayiv. The Mishnah said Rameyer said he's Chayiv Malchus, and the Chacham said he's not. We said the Shmuel flips it around and says Rameyer says he's Chayiv Malchus, and the Chacham say he's not. So Rabbi Yehuda
would say he's chayav because he should get down to the carriage.
He should, but we're talking about whether they are actually moving because of him. So that's the thing. So Rabbi Yehuda had argued that there's an analogy between rochuv riding on an animal and Yoshev sitting in the wagon.
The wagon can't go by itself.
The wagon can't go by itself. Fine, but the point is though that if the last thing we said is the one who's riding on the animal. No, obviously if the animal's moving because of him, there's not necessarily anything to talk about. But we're talking about if it's not moving because of him, but let's say he's holding the reins. So we said just holding the reins is not enough to be a valid king. Unless somebody handed him the reins. Whereas moving it, yeah.
Holding the reins and moving it?
And moving it, yeah.
So if it's a person sitting in the wagon and you have two animals climbing, pulling it, the wagon won't go by itself. So it's
no, but they might be, they might be going because of him. When they feel somebody sitting in the wagon, then by instinct, they start going.
Right, so it's because of him.
But that's what we said yesterday, that the Chacham said he's potter. Right. Because he's just sitting there passively. Yeah.
He's not passive.
He is. He's just sitting there in
a
wagon.
Sitting there where he shouldn't be sitting. There.
Fine. We're not saying he shouldn't get out. You can't say he's Chayav Malchus for it, though.
Okay.
Anyway. The Gemara says Meitzvi. Okay. So now I have a...
It's just when they move or...
When they do any kind of work. When they do any kind of work. If they're just standing there, they're not doing any work.
So they're not Chayav.
Right. Okay. Meitzvi. The Gemara says, I have a contradiction to Rabbi Yehuda. We ended up saying yesterday again that Rabbi Yehuda would say that rochuv, that even rochuv l'chude, even somebody who is just riding on his own is not koinah. How much more so if there's another person who's also manhig, who's also leading the animal. So now, what about our Mishnah? Hayu shnayim rochuv v'nagav behemoth. We said if there was two people riding an animal, or one riding and one leading, then they swear that they own half of it, and they divide it. Mani. So we have to ask, who is our Mishnah like? According from the two opinions in Masechet Kalayim. Elam Rab Meir, if you're going to say it's according to Rab Meir, who we said yesterday that Rab Meir, according to Shmuel's understanding, Rab Meir is the one who says that you're Chayav Malchus just for sitting in a wagon that's tied to Kalayim because they'll go and pull it, even though you're sitting there passively, they're going to go pull it, and therefore you have something to do with it.
Yoshev Kani.
So therefore, hashtag Yoshev Kani, Rochov Mboi. So if you're telling, according to Rab Meir then, even somebody who's just sitting passively in the wagon is Koine in the sense of, well, not Koine, but in the sense of Malchus, that he's going to get Malchus, rochel mibori, how much more so somebody who's riding ought to be clone of the animal. So you can't say that. It could draw a coin to the mayor, but what would be the chiddush? Actually, says lomali lashmein in b'tauti. Why would the mayor have to tell us in two different contexts this concept that somebody who was sitting there passively is considered like he has an actual that his sitting accomplishes something. In the case of Kalayim, that he gets malchus, and in the case over here that he's clearing the animal. Yeah. Ela lav rabbanon. Presumably, our Mishnah must be going according to the Rabbanon, which they would make that distinction between Yoshev and Roichev. They would say Yoshev is not Chayv Malkus, but Roichev is Koine. Ushmam in a Rochel Koine. Well, there you go. Then it seems that somebody who's riding on an animal is Koine. Not like Rabbi Hoda understood it.
And it cannot be Rabbi Meir.
It could have been Rabbi Meir, but then there wouldn't be any Chiddush in it. Remember, the Mishnah tells us two cases, right? One is where two people are riding on an animal, and the other is where one is riding the animal and one is leading it. If, according to the mayor, riding on an animal or sitting in a wagon is enough, if sitting in a wagon, according to the mayor, is enough to make you chayev for manig b'kalayim, but at least you would say that riding on an animal is not less than the sitting, and therefore there'd be no reason to bring it, or at least not to bring both cases, not to bring both the cases where two people are riding, or one where one is riding and one is leading.
So that's why
it can't see, doesn't seem to be a coin to the mayor. And if it's a coin to the chachamim, then fakir, we see that somebody who's riding can be kind of. So there is a difference between Yoshev and Reichev.
So chachamim, there is.
Yeah. Well, that's a problem for Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is chachamim, my skin with manig viraglov. Yes, but the Mishnah would be talking about that he's actually leading the animal by kicking it with its feet. So therefore, like when you ride a horse, so it's not just you're sitting on there passively and it's maybe moving on its own, you're actually causing it to move. Okay, the question is, then isn't that effectively the same thing as manig? So the Mishnah could have just as well said that both of them are manig. The answer is, today gavni manig. Yes, but the Mishnah wanted to point out that there's two different ways of leading an animal. Because ma'ud etamed rochel, because you would think, if you have both people leading the animal, in the sense, let's say, that both of them are sitting on it, or both of them are pulling the reins, then of course there's no chiddush, they're both on an equal level. But if one of them is riding and the other one is leading it, you would think the one who's riding has a better claim. Tosfos explains, we don't mean, in other words, that the one who's riding would be making a kinyan as opposed to the other one would, that he'd cancel out the other guy's kinyan. We don't mean that. We just mean that if we're talking about who has a chazaka, the one who's riding it would seem to have the stronger chazaka if he's riding it and kicking it with his feet. But that, the Mishnah says that they share it. That's the point. Dhammanig v'tofisba, because that's the chiddush, in other words. That's the point. That would be the point of the Mishnah mentioning one riding and one leading, is to tell you precisely that. You would think that Rochel is Adif, that he's better off. Dhammanig v'tofisba, because he's accomplishing both. Number one, he's leading it, and the other one is he's tofis. He's actually holding on to the animal with his body, with his legs. Kamash Malan, that is therefore the chiddush that no, neither one's chazaka is any greater than the other one, and therefore yachloik.
I was trying to think that either way, as long as you're money, whether sitting or pulling, you're money, and you're paying it.
Understood, but you need to be informed that the roichev does not have any stronger chazaka than the money. That's the point. That's the point. Okay. Tashma. If you have two people who are pulling a camel or leading a donkey, a donkey is usually led, as in like you have a stick and you prod it to go along. A donkey is usually not a donkey. A camel is usually you hold on to the reins, to the bridle, and you pull it along. The midah zois kanu. In this midah, which the Gemara is going to explain soon what those words mean, kanu then they're kain. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, La'olam lo'kona achtem b'shicha b'gamal v'anhaga b'chamer. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that you're not kona unless you're pulling a camel or leading a donkey. Now, that, in a way, that sounds like the same thing as the Tanakhama. So we're going to have to deal with what the Tanakhama said. Yeah, that two people are pulling a camel or leading a donkey. And Rabbi Yehuda says that you're not kona unless you're pulling the camel or leading the donkey. So that's wait. Katanim, yes. Now, before we get to Rabbi Yehuda, we look. The the bottom line is, we learn in the Braisa, Oshahaya Echad Moshech Ve'echad Manig, we're saying that if, oh, so that's the difference. So the Tanakama was mentioning both of them are pulling the camel, or both of them are leading the donkey. Or Oshahaya Echad Moshech Ve'echad Manig. Or in the case of either the camel or the donkey, one was pulling and the other one was leading. So that then we said, B'mida Zayis Kanur, and Rabbi Yehuda says no. So, so the Braisa and Tanakama had said, if one is leading it and the other one, if one of them is pulling it and the other one is leading it, implying Moshech Manig Ein Avarach of Loi, implying only pulling it or leading it is going to be a valid kinyan. It sounds like riding it is not going to be a valid kinyan. Tosfos points out though the reason that makes the Gemara assume that is because the Braisa was so wordy about it, because the Braisa went to the trouble of giving all the details, you're pulling the camel, or you're leading the donkey, or one is leading and one is pulling, the implication is it means only those things, not riding.
Can't you sit on the animal and be considered Moshech?
No, Moshech means that you're pulling on the reins. So it sounds like Rochov is not Kainer. So this would then be a proof to Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is loy. No, that's not what the Braisa means. Who are after the Rochu? Maybe the Braisa does implicitly come to include also riding. The only reason why the Tanakhama mentions this concept that one of them is pulling the animal and the other one is leading it is only Lapukim is Rabbi Yehuda, to tell us the point in which the Tanakhama disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it has to be the normal kind of thing. Camels are normally pulled, donkeys are normally led, therefore it has to be the normal way. Echad Moshe v'Echad Mani, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would not work for both of them, because one applies to a camel and only one applies to a donkey. Kamash Malon, therefore the Tanakhama wants to tell us after the Ipchanami Kani that no, even if it was the other way around, even if you're pulling a donkey or leading a camel, it also works. But not to say though that the Tanakhama would be excluding Rochel, riding the animal. Okay. The problem with that is the Hochiler Vinuvalisninu. If that's the case, if that's all the Braisa means, then why does it mention them separately? It should combine them all together. Instead of saying two people were pulling a camel, two people were leading a donkey, or one was pulling and the other was leading, just put it all together. Shorten it. Shnayim shayu moshchin manhegin. Two people who were pulling or leading, bein begal bein b'chamer, whether it was a camel or whether it was a donkey, then they're kinda, yeah.
You would not know exactly which one is doing what.
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If our assumption is at this point that the Tanakhama doesn't care whether it's the normal way of doing it or not, then he didn't have to first distinguish between you're leading the camel or you're pulling the camel or leading the donkey, or one is doing one and one is doing the other. If it's all the same, leading or pulling, then it could have been, then it just should just mention altogether.
If you said you would have said either two.
Fine, so, no, it's not Oyman. Fine, Oyman Higgin then, fine.
You cannot say one is doing one thing and the other one is doing the other thing.
No, but two people who were pulling and fine, but obviously you can't have one person be both pulling and leading. If you said that would make it clear that regardless whether they're both pulling, regardless whether they're both leading, regardless whether one is doing the other, regardless of what kind of animal, it works. But it could be both. Again, one person is not going to be doing both, and if he is, then all the more so.
It's understood as two or either Moshechin or
you have two people being you have two people. There's Meshicha and there's Anhaga done over here. It could be both Moshechin, it could be both Manhegin, or it could be one or the other. It didn't have to go into all the detail if you're saying that it's all the same regardless of what kind of animal. It could have said it in a shorter way. The answer is because no. It couldn't have done like that because even according to the Tanakhama, there is one method that isn't going to work. Now what is that? Ikadami Meshicha b'chamor, ikadami anhaga b'gamol. Some people say that the one way that does not work is pulling a donkey. And the other, that would not be Kainer. And others say it means the leading a camel. Whichever, the point is, again, Rabbi Yehuda pointed out that neither of those is the normal thing to do. The Tanakhama would accept that one or the other of those does work, but the other one does not. Okay, he's just not making it clear which one is which, but the point is, therefore, he couldn't have just said, Shnayim Shayim Moshchun Manhigin Ben Begamal Ben Bechamer, because that would imply that all four are valid, and only three out of the four are valid. So therefore, so it's not normal to pull a donkey by the reins, no, and it's not normal to prod a camel along, no. So whichever one, I guess we consider the less usual one than the other, then that would be the one the Tanakhama says doesn't work.
And that's the chiddush of the mission.
So that would not the chiddush so much, but that would, the point is therefore that so we see that the Braisa is not necessarily trying to tell us anything about riding. Could very well be that riding is koina. Could be that it's not koina. You could say, like Rabbi Yehuda, that roichav is not koina. You could say that you could say that maybe it is. And again, you could distinguish between whether you're actually kicking it with your feet or just sitting on it passively. But the braisa is not getting into those details.
Hey, why then?
Because it's not.
That's a question.
It doesn't need to. Not every braisa needs to say everything. As a matter of fact, Tosfos points out that according to this explanation that we have now, we could say that now the word b'mida zois kanu, there's two possibilities. It could mean, on the one hand, that it could mean no other pinyin works other than b'mida zu, other than these, or it could mean that if one of them is manhig and the other one is rochu, then he's not koine. But if you only have one of them as rochu, then he will be koine. Again, remember, you're talking about two people over here. So you can talk about when you have rochu b'mkoi manhig. That's not to say though. The question: we only have one roicha than nobody else, that he might not be koine.
It doesn't mention the word roicha.
It doesn't mention the word roicha. So the point is fine. So the point is it's not addressing that. So it's not addressing.
It seems to be excluding it.
It doesn't have to be. No, B'midazos may be excluding it, maybe not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So then we don't have a proof one way or the other. The istim moisiv misefa. Then there are those who want to prove what Shmuel is saying, and what Rabbi Yehuda is saying from the sefer of this braisa. Now, normally the word moisiv usually means to ask a question, but here Rabbi Chananel and many other mefarshim explain that the word moisiv over here means like to answer to prove Shmuel's point that we started saying yesterday that there's a roichav and a manig, one is koina, one is not, that maybe we can prove from this braisa that indeed when you have roichav and manig, when you have one person riding the other person leading, the one who's riding will not be koina. Why? The midazu kana, because the braisa had said the midazu, the midazois, whatever, that with in this way you're koina. Now the midazu l'mo'uti mai. Now what are those words? The midazois come to exclude. Lav l'mo'uti rochuv. L'chura, they come to exclude the case of somebody riding, and therefore that would be a proof that Shmuel, that would be a proof to what we said originally, that Shmuel at the beginning of the sugya, that Shmuel, as Shmuel says, Rochu, either maybe by themselves or maybe b'mkoy manig, as the case may be,
right,
is not koina.
Right.
The answer is lo. L'mor to ipcha. No, the braisa may just mean the Tanakhama, when he says the midazos konu, may just mean to say the midazos only in this way, pulling a camel or leading a donkey, not the other way around, leading a camel or pulling a donkey. Okay, well then the question is, Yehoche Hanra of Yehoda. Fine, if you're going to say that way, if that's all the Midazu is coming to exclude, then it comes out, the Tanakhama is saying the same thing as Rabbi Yehoda. The answer is no, it could be not Tzadech of the Loikana. No, because again, like we said before, you still have that Rabbi Yehuda would say that only two out of the four possible ways are Koina. Only, if it's a camel only pulling it, if it's a donkey only leading it, nothing else, whereas the Tanakhama would say that one of the two other possibilities is also Koina. Again, you could say one way or the other, maybe it's the pulling a donkey, maybe it's the pulling a donkey, or maybe it's the leading a camel, that one or the other, then the kind of camel would hold is valid. When he says the midas is kanu, according to that, maybe he means, out of the four possibilities, there's one that I'm excluding, which is not in this midah, and therefore you're not kanu. And Rabbi Yehuda then is excluding two of them. But that isn't so that would be the difference then between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. Not to say though that the Tanakhama is necessarily dealing with the question of roichav at all.
We don't
know.
We don't
know. Okay. Tashma. Echad rochav chamer if you have one person riding a donkey, the echad tofus b'meisera, and the other one is holding on to the reins, zekona chamer v'zekona meisera. The one is kohen the donkey, the pashtus, the guy who's riding it, and the one who and the other one who's holding the reins is kohen the reins. Well, that would be a proof then against Shmuel, or against the Rehuda's understanding of Shmuel, at least, that a Roichav is not Koine.
Rachov,
Roichav, same difference.
Yes. Is
Koine, yeah. Whereas we said that Shmuel had said among the Rachov and the Manev, one is Koine and one is not. And Rehuda said, I wasn't sure, and we're still trying to figure it out. And he ended up saying that Rachov is not Koine, but the Brai seems to contradict it. Fine, but here also the rochov we're talking about over here can be where he's making it move by kicking it with his feet. Okay, the question is, No, if I care, that is good. That's better than just rochov passive.
Right.
In other words, Shmuel, when he says rochov manig, one's kohen, one's not, and Rabbi Yehuda understands it to mean that rochov is not kohen, that would be where he's sitting there passively. Where again, as we said yesterday, even if the animal moves a little bit, it's not really moving because of him. It's moving just because of the natural thing. When an animal feels somebody on its back, it moves. But not.
And here we're talking about
where he's actually kicking it. Where he's actually kicking it actively, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying, though. So
is he making him move as opposed to the rotor?
That's
the active one.
Right. No, but No. Hold on. Rashi actually says, he's not actually leading it. He's just holding on to the reins. That's why all he gets is the reins, right?
So the question is,
fine, in that case, the one who's riding the animal at least should be koina not only the animal, but also the part of the reins, the part of the harness that's on the animal's head, that's pretty much bottle to the animal. The answer is Ema. Yeah, say it that way. Zekana chamer v'chatzim eseira. Zekana chatzim eseira. Fine. The one who's riding, then, if he's actually kicking the animal, get the donkey as well as half of the reins, the part that's on the animal's head, and the other one gets the half of the rein, the part that he's holding. We're not yet up to the part that he's holding. No, now we're saying all the part that's not on the animal's head, all the part that starts hanging down from below the animal's head until his hand. He'd be kind of that part. The other one would be kind of the rest. Yeah. Okay. Well, now you have to ask. Now we're going to have something that relates back to what we talked about yesterday, where two people pick up one thing, and each one is kind of and each one is kind of one half. So, Bishlemer Rochov Koni. So fine, I can understand the one who's riding the animal is kind of his half of the reins, Jokamagvale Bendas, because the other half is being picked up by a Bendas. So therefore, when the other guy picks up the reins, then he can be his kohen for himself and his kohen for the other guy. We learned yesterday that Rava said you can do that.
Why would someone who wants grabbing him a seat be kohen for the other guy?
No, we're not saying he'd want to be kohen for the other guy. Rava had said yesterday that because he's able to be kohen for himself, migri d'zochi l'nafshe, zochi nami l'chavre, therefore he can also be kohen for the other guy. When a ben das picks up the reins that are lying on the ground, and he intends, so he can't be kohen the whole animal with it because he didn't make the animal move yet. He didn't do meshicha or any such thing. But at least he's being kohen the part of the reins so far, we're saying, that's hanging off the animal's head. So fine, once he picks that up, then the other guy you can say then you can say the other guy by getting onto the animal and kicking it to make it start moving is able to be coined to the other half through this guy picking up the one hand. Ella Tofus but may say to my economy, but forget the one who's holding the reins are on the ground. Ella Tofus but may say to my economy, but the one who's holding the reins, how is he coined? If the other half of the reins is still on the animal's head, that hasn't been lifted up. Nobody has done any kinyan on that yet.
Buttle to the behemoth.
It's buttle to the behemoth, basically. So when you pick up something to be coined from a hefker, you have to pick up the entire thing. It can't just be that you pick up one end of it. So how is the guy who's holding the reins supposed to be coined any part of the reins? Because we're coined half the reins. The answer is Ema. You're right. Let's change it again. By the way, the Ritva point, the Ritva talks about that what it is it's not really the Gemara doesn't keep on changing its mind. It's you have a discussion over here between the questioner and the answer, or the Makshan and the Tarzan. Well, obviously it's all by heart, but the point is like each time the Makshan, the one who's asking the questions, is trying to get to the point where he's saying, how is anybody coming to any part of this bridle, as we're going to establish soon. The Tarzan, the one who keeps on trying to answer, okay, so he's coming to his half. He's kind of the entire bridle. He's kind of half the bridle, whatever. So he doesn't understand basically what the other guy is getting at. So therefore, like he keeps on having to retreat from his position until the Makshan makes it clear. You know, you're not understanding what I'm getting at. There's no reason he should be kind of any part of it. So Ema. So okay, let's change. Zekona chamur kulei meiser. Oh, fine. The one who's riding the animal then is kona the donkey as well as the entire Moisera, minus the Zekoni Mashitophus Biade. The other person is only kona the actual part that he's holding in his hand.
But the one who's standing.
What? That's the point. In other words, the point would be, so far we're saying that the reins, let's say, are, you know, you have 2 feet of them are on the animal's head, 2 feet of them are hanging free, and 1 foot of it is in the guy's hand. So the one who's holding it is kind of the 1 foot. The one who's riding the animal is kind of the 2 feet that's on the head. The 2 feet of the reins that are in the middle, nobody's kind of. If a third party wants to come and grab a hold of those and be kind of, he'd be able to.
So the person holding it, he doesn't need hakbas at that point.
Well, what he has in his hand, what a person has in their hand is considered you have a chazaka on, right? You don't even need to do hakbas on it necessarily. That's it. Okay.
Even though the animal can run away? The guy who's sitting on the animal holds the head of the reins. He can make the animal run away anytime he wants. So how can you say that the other one has a chazaka?
That's fine, but the fact is, right now,
So
the Gemara is going to take up that point about being able to grab it away in a minute, but, although in a different context. But yeah, no, the fact we're talking about right at the beginning over here, where each of them is kona. The fact that now I can make the animal run away.
Yeah.
After you got it in your hand, so what? I mean, that's no different than if you had a talus in your hand and I'm able to grab it from you. It doesn't make it mine.
If Shino, you would kona the animal.
Yeah, come on, there's no Shino over here.
If he runs away,
that's not a Shino. However, the Gemara still asks, Hi, Mai. What kind of a statement is that? What kind of an assumption is that?
Yeah.
That you're saying that the one who's holding one end of the reins is going to be able to be kind of that part that he's holding on to. Why? Imtim Salaim Ahmad Bi Matsiya Lachavera Kana Chaver, right? Fine. You can say, let's say that What are we saying, therefore, effectively? We're saying that the one who's riding the animal is kind of the part of the reins that are on the animal's head because of the other guy picking up the other hand. Because of the other guy picking up the other end, then therefore he picked that up. He did hagba on it. You're saying he himself is not kona any more than what's in his hand. He's not kona the rest of the part that's hanging loose. However, it causes the other guy to be kona the part that's on the animal's head. How do you do that? Even if you're going to say, as we learned yesterday, that Rami Bahama says that if you pick up a metziah on behalf of somebody else, meaning that you're not intending to be kona it yourself, you're only intending the other guy is going to be kona it, that the other guy is kona, that only works though when he picks it up, having in mind for the other person to be koine. This person is picking it up, intending for himself to acquire it. And he himself is not koine any of it by hagbah. He's only koine the little bit that's in his hand. How is he possibly able to be makne any other part of it to the other guy? So Ravashi says, fine. Here's what we have to settle. The one person who's riding the animal acquires the chamur, the donkey itself, as well as base pagera, the actual part of the reins that are actually attached, not really attached, but whatever, that are tied tightly onto the animal's head. Meaning up until now, we were assuming that you have, there's two different things. Like think of when you ride a horse, you know, you have the part of the harness that's actually strapped onto the horse's face or whatever, to the horse's head. Then you have the part that hangs for you to grab a hold of. And then you have maybe, and then you have maybe more that hangs down in front. All this time, we were assuming, and we said that the one who's riding on the donkey is Kona, his part of the Meisera. We assumed, we meant not just the part that's actually strapped onto the animal's head, but also the part that's hanging down towards him. Now we're saying that no. The one who's riding the animal is only Kona, the part that's actually strapped onto the animal's head. That's base pagea, is the part that's strapped on. Vizek Kona Mashatokas Biyabe. The other one is Kona, only what he has in his hand. Bashire and the rest of the reins, what hangs down in each direction, Loikona, Loizev, Loizev, neither one is Kona. Because again, you can't. So now we fixed it up. The one who's the fact that you're Kona the base pagero is not because of the other guy lifting up the other half. It's because you're Kona the animal by riding on it and kicking it with your feet, and therefore you're Kona the part of the harness that's strapped onto the animal's head because that's bottled to it. In addition to the animal, it's like attached to the animal. The other guy is Kona only the part that's in his hand because he's actually holding it in his hand, not because of Hagba per se. And the rest.
He's not Kona the animal.
No, of course not. No. And the rest, and then the rest, the hanging, and the rest, the hanging loose.
Over, he's fucking high, and having in his hand is nothing.
So all he has is the part that's in his hand. Because that's the thing, because we said he picked it up, and he picked it up intending for himself, he picked it up intending for himself to be coined it. But the problem is, the other end of it is in its place on the animal's head. Nobody picked that end up. Therefore, there's nobody to be machna him. You still need to pick up the entire thing. So like this, the part that's in his hand, fine, he's cutting it. But everything else, there's nobody to be mad.
By him holding it, even moving very lightly, he is controlling the rest of that part. Until the neck, he's controlling that.
That's true, but we're saying it's irrelevant. But the point is that a third party can also come and grab that middle part and lay claim to it.
This must be expensive for a ring.
It must be. Rabbi Bahu, I'm a Rabbi Bahu says we could actually go. We don't need all of that. We could say that the one who's riding the donkey is Kona only the donkey. The other one is Kona all of the reins, including the part that's on the end, including the base pagel, including the part that's on the animal head. Because he has the capability, the one who's holding the reins is able to pull it hard and pull it completely off the animal's head. And no further hagbah is needed. He doesn't need to. If you have something where one end of it is lying on the ground, then in order to pick it up, in order to get the whole thing off the ground, you need to actually lift up the whole thing. Here, one half of it is already off the ground. It's on the animal's head. So all you need to do is give one schlep, and the whole thing comes off. The guy was standing on the ground holding the reins.
Not meant to come up,
therefore, that guy can. Therefore, Rabbi Bahu argues on that ground, he should be able to actually be kona the entire ring, including the part that is actually strapped onto the animal's head.
When you pull the ring, you pull it hard. Doesn't pull up the head. Made to pull the ring.
Look, I mean, I'm not talking about the way they strap them on nowadays. Obviously, we're talking about there must have been some way that they did it in those days, where it's strapped on tightly enough that you can that you can lead the animal with it, but not so strongly that you couldn't just schlep it off.
Yeah, everyone can stop him.
That doesn't matter. The point is that he has the ability to not go like that.
The Rechev can take it also away from him.
But he's not holding the rein. He's just sitting on the animal and guiding it with his feet.
Keeping his balance.
Watch so he can pull it. He can pull up the Rechev and take the whole animal himself.
Because we're not talking about that. You're going to pull it so hard to knock down the animal, I guess. Yeah. However, v'hodir Rav Abohu Baruthi. However, this that Rav Abohu is saying is something outside. It's like a respectful way of saying it's not correct. So Barusa, it belongs outside the Bet Midrash, such a statement. It doesn't belong in the Bet Midrash. On the side over here, it says a different gear said that's brought in a few places. There's a few places where the Gemara has this expression in Shas. There's some other places where instead of Barusa, the gear says Badusa, which means literally a fiction. The same as Badrusa would mean like a fiction, the Lashon Badai.
Nobody
expects
that.
No, not that nobody expects it to happen, but this statement of Rabbi Bohu cannot possibly be correct. Because the Ilay Temahachi, because if you're not going to say like that, Talis Shimunachas Chetzi Agabe Karka V'Chetzi Agabe Amud, what if you have a talis where half of it is lying on the ground and half of it is lying on a pillar? Or Barachav V'Igbir Chetzi Agabe Karka, one person picks up the half that's lying on the ground, and the other one picks up the end that's lying on the pillar. Hachanami to Kamakani or Basu Lekani? What are you going to tell me? Only the first one is Kaina, the second one is not. That's why. Because the first one, once he's holding one end already, the second end is already off the ground, and he'd be able to schlep the whole thing to him. It doesn't work that way. Both of them are going to share in it equally. It would be exactly the case of Shnai Mechel Metalis. You can't say, therefore, Elohadur Rababo Barusi. So therefore, on that basis, you must say that what Rababo is saying can't really be correct. With that said, though, the Rambam does partially paskin according to him in a case in the case of Kinyan Sudr, that if you give part of the Sudr, we learned the other day that you have to be holding at least three tefachim of the three etzvot rather of the Sudr, and then you're koyne because that's big enough to be a beged of its own. But the Rambam also adds the detail that if you give the other person even a lesser amount of that, but he would be able by grabbing that to take the whole thing, then it's considered a valid Kinyan Sudr. So to that extent, he does agree with Rabbi Bo's statement over here, but in terms of being Koino Metzia, that no.
You cannot shift a horse like you can shift a talis. A talis you can take, pick it up, and then draw it to yourself. A horse?
We're not talking about drawing the whole horse. You're talking about pulling off the reins. Anyway, the bottom line is that we don't say, like Rabbi Bo, that because the one holding the reins could conceivably pull off all the reins, therefore we get to keep it. The maskana was, like Rabbi Ashi said, the one only has the part that's strapped to the animal's head, the other one only has the part that he's holding, the third part is up for grabs.
The part that he's holding is considered till it's cut off, right?
Yeah, considered, yeah, exactly.
Okay. Now, the fact that this behemoth, this is the Mitzvah's behemoth,
mm-hmm.
The fact that it has reins on it, the fact that it's all dressed up, it just shows that someone owns it.
Maybe, but well, it could very well be. But you're talking, for example, you found it in a city that's mostly goyim. We'll learn an Eilat Metzias, but in such a case, you're not obligated to. Yeah. So anyway, so we still don't have a proof from this Braita one way or the other about the question of Rochel, because the Rochel of this Braita can be kicking the animal with his feet. Tashma, Rabbi Eliezer, Roch of Basadu Manig Beir Kana. Rabbi Eliezer says that if somebody is riding in the field, then he's Koine, but not in the city, Rashi says, for reasons which we'll discuss soon. The Gemara is going to say soon it's not normal to ride an animal in the city. Umanig Beir, or if you're leading an animal in the city, Rashi says that means in the field, and how much more, even in the city, how much more so in the field. The Rashba, by the way, disagrees with that. The Rashba says that no, if you're manhig in the field, you're not going to be koine because it's normal to ride an animal in the field because you don't want it to run away. In the city, there's no room for it to run away. Therefore, leading it with a stick or whatever is going to be enough. But in the field, you want to be riding it because otherwise it's going to run away. It has a wide open space to run away.
You're holding the reins.
Not necessarily are we talking about over here where there's reins, but even if there are, I mean... Yeah, but it still has more room to run away. So therefore, in the city, in the field, the Rashba says it would be more normal to actually lead it, as opposed to in the city, as we're saying, you don't usually ride animals in the city, as the Gemara is going to say soon, and it's a narrow space, it's not going to run away anyway, so therefore you lead it. So he says, then, in either of those cases, kana. So we see then that Rochel is kana. Again, the answer is Hachanami Manig Beragla. Again, you could say over here that Rochel over here means where he's kicking it with his feet. Okay, again, Hachi Haina Manig, fine, but then why does he have to distinguish between Rochel and Manig? And the answer is, again, like we said before, Tre Gavni Manig, fine, but there's two different ways of leading an animal. One where you're walking aside, where you're walking next to it with a stick or whatever, and the other one where you're riding it and kicking it with your feet. Okay, Hachi Rochel Be'ir My Time Alekani, fine, if you're going to say like that, if you're going to say like that, then why indeed is somebody who's riding in the city not Kona? Tosfos mentions there's two possible girsois over here, whether we'll go to the words ihochi or not. If you're going to say that manhig over here does not mean somebody walking alongside the animal, but rather somebody riding it, controlling it with his feet, then okay. In the city, the logical reason therefore to distinguish between the city and the field would be that in the city the animal is not moving because of you; it's moving because of the noise of the city. But if you're going to say that, why is there a difference between the city and the field as far as riding the animal? But the other possibility is that maybe we're not Gerdes Ihachi, and then therefore it's a new question. Fine, we've established therefore that there is two different kinds of Rachov. There can be you're riding passively versus riding actively. Now, as a side thing, let's figure out why indeed are you not Kona if you're riding in the city. Because people don't normally ride on an animal in the city. Rashi says because it's Tznius. It's not Tznius in the sense, like, I mean, the Gemara mentions in Sukkim that women usually ride side saddle because it's Tznius. We don't mean that kind of Tznius. That's not a problem for men. It's more like it's a Gaivadika thing, kind of, to ride around on an animal in the middle of the city. Sort of, yeah. Okay. And by that logic, what if somebody picks up a purse on Shabbos? It's not normal for people to pick up a purse on Shabbos. You're going to tell me you wouldn't be koneh? Of course you're koneh. Okay, you're over on an Easter, but you're still koneh. You're not allowed to, midrabanan, but the fact is, if you picked it up, you did accomplish a kinyan. It is considered yours. The same thing over here. Okay, maybe it's not normal to do it because it's Tznius. So what? He did it. Why shouldn't he be Kona? El of Mekach Memphis. So no, this distinction that Abeliezer is making about riding in the city, they're not Kona, he's not talking about a Mitzvah. He's talking about when you buy an animal, and now you're going to do a kinyan on it. On the lay, we're talking about that the person who sold it to him tells him, Kni Kederach Shebnei Adam Kona. I want you to be Kona this animal in the way that people are usually Kona. Well, people don't usually ride animals in the city. Therefore, you're not Kona that way because the guy specifically told you that I only want you to be Kona in the normal way that people do. Okay. Then the Gemara points out, though, there are some exceptions to this rule about riding in the city. The Irush Shusarabim Hukani. Number one, if it's in Rush Shusarabim, then it is normal to ride an animal rather than to lead it because you're going to be walking next to the animal or holding the reins or what have you, but meanwhile, passers-by are going to get between you and the animal, and you'll get separated from each other. So therefore, in Rosh Hashanah itself, it's normal to ride the animal. And therefore that would be valid for a kinyan.
So it is or isn't.
When we say that's not, it would be in a simta, it would be like in a side street. In a side street where there's not so much foot traffic, then you don't normally ride on an animal. But in Rosh Hashanah, you don't have a choice, because how else are you going to make sure the animal doesn't get away from you?
At least by holding the reins, because you're not going to hold
like right so close to the animal. Usually, you're going to give a little bit of lead between you and the animal, and there's enough passers by coming through that they might end up walking through and separating you from the animal.
Because usually in the cities they have a load and they pull their animals with strings. They don't drive them. They don't ride them through the city. It's busy.
That's what we're saying. Remember that? Yeah. The Iodam Choshevul Kani. Furthermore, if he's a very important person, then it's beneath his dignity to walk by the animal and lead it with a stick. So therefore, it's more of a cover dick for him to ride it, even in a side street. The Ishehi Kanya. Also, if it's a woman, then she's Kona because she doesn't have the strength to hold on to the reins and make sure the animal doesn't bolt all of a sudden. So therefore, she'll also ride the animal. The Inish Zilahu Kani. And also, if he's a low class person who doesn't have that kind of sense of sneers, or that kind of sense of sneers, then he will, then he's also kind of, because it's also normal for him to ride in the city. So then the point is, a Benini, an average person, Rashi says, an average person who is not particularly rich, but on the other hand, who is not beneath his dignity to lead an animal, and it's in a side street, then you don't expect him to ride the animal, and if he is, then that's not a valid kid. Agrosa Grah brings over here that the Rosh has a slightly different girsa, that if it's in Rosh Hashanah and the person, if it's in Rosh Hashanah, if he's an important person, then he's Kona. In other words, according to the Rosh, in order to be Kona, you'd need both. It needs to be in Rosh Hashanah and that he's an important person. So if it was in a side street and he's an important person, still wouldn't work. Because you don't know, even an important person has no reason to ride in the side street and so forth.
You need something that's done commonly?
That's what we said before. Okay.
So what's happening? He's riding the animal, and people are trying to take it away from him. He says, it's mine, and they say, you can't, it's not enough for your cover to ride.
No, Mekach HaMemcha we're talking about, but he didn't do a kinyan on it yet. Therefore, for example, if the seller at that point wanted to change his mind, he would be able to. He'd have to get Mishapara, as we'll learn later on in the Sefta, but he would be able to because the guy has not done a valid kinyan on it yet.
Okay.
previous page was in Sia, now it's Sigma Mechel.
Now.
And he can't say, I give up my covenant, I want to.
Apparently not, because he said, because he specifically told him, Pnei Shader Shem Nerim Koinin. Be Koinin in the way that people normally do. So unless we know that he's a particularly covenantic person, or a particularly low class person, then yeah.
Giving the money for a loan is not enough, yes, they actually pull it.
What?
He gives the money for the Hema and the Mechelman.
We're going to learn in Hazaha. We're going to learn in the fourth paragraph extensively about that. But yeah, just giving money for goods is not enough to make a kinyan on them yet. You have to actually do some kind of kinyan, Mashiach or Akbar or kinyan Chatzar or what have you. Yeah. Right, we'll get to that later on. That's Machlokas or Yechon and Rish Lakish. Wait. Boy Rav Elazar. Ha'im al Chaverim, Mashiach Behema Zulukness Kalim Shalal. What if one person says to the other, do Mashiach on this animal to be koine the kalim that are on it?
Mahu.
Sort of like Kenyan Aga, but not really. That's Mahu, what's the din? Is he koine those kalim? Question is, what do you mean? Liknos? What do you mean if he says to be koine? Miyomo likne? He didn't actually tell him be koine them. Liknos implies that Rashi says, you may have in mind to be koine, but I'm not makne it to you. And in fact, the Rosh says it's sort of like sarcastically, like, Meshech Behemazu, and you think thereby Liknos Kalim Shalal, that you're going to actually be koine the Kalim on it. The Rambam has a different explanation. The Rambam says the problem with Liknos is it implies future tense. Sometime in the future, you'll be koine those Kalim. Can't do that. You have to say, you're koine them now. Ella, no. Okay, so let's change the wording. Meshech Behemazu Ukni Kalim Shalal. Pull this animal, and you will be koine the Kalim on it. Mahu. Then we have to ask, what's the din? Is Mashiach on the animal, which remember, you're not being koine of the animal itself in this scenario. The intent is only to be koine of the kalim. So can Mashiach on the animal work to be koine of the kalim or not? So that's the question. And the Gemara is actually leaving it unresolved. So the next thing that Rav is going to ask over here is sort of a side question on Rav Elazar's original question. But the actual din itself is unresolved, and therefore you're not right.
It's unresolved because
we don't have an answer. We don't have an answer.
If it was his behemoth, tell him go ahead and make your shikha on your own behemoth and kind of kill him done. But that would probably work.
No, why should it? The Gemara is going to say in a second. It's a matter of chotzer. Chotzer malachas. It's a moving chotzer. It's not going.
Even if the animal is he's, like you
said. It shouldn't matter whose animal it is. Okay, the truth is actually, I think Tosfos does discuss the question, what if you're selling the animal as well as the kalim, then maybe the Mashiach on the animal, maybe that would be different. But here what you're talking about, you're not transferring the animal itself, just the kalim. Yeah.
That's a bit tight.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say in a second. Yeah. Omar Rava. Wait. No, Kinyan Agav only works with character. Kinyan Agav that we learned about in Kiddushin is only when you makna somebody's character, you can be makna the talisman.
So what is it?
It's not an animal, not business.
So what is it?
So it's not, that's the thing. We're saying that. If we're going to say it's valid, it would be a Kinyan Chatzer. That, Omar Rava, E Omar Le Knei Behemav Knei Kalim, Mi Koni Kalim. What are you talking about? What's Bechlal the question? Even if you were to tell him that you're actually going to be Kona the animal and you're going to be Kona the Kalim, Mi Koni Kalim, how are you Kona the Kalim along with the animal? Chatzer Mahalachas, it's a moving Chatzer. But Chatzer Mahalachas Le Kona, and we wrote a moving Chatzer. Yeah, we learned.
Doesn't matter how big it is?
No. A moving chatzer is not koine. What it is actually, we're going to learn later on in a couple of days about b'chlal, how does kinyan chatzer work? What's the underlying basis of it? Is it because the chatzer is an extension of your yad, or is it because the chatzer is your shliach? So if it's a matter of it being your yad, then your yad doesn't move on its own. It only moves when you make it move. Therefore, chatzer can't be something that moves on its own either. And even if it's a shliach, Mephoshim will explain, the difference is a shliach moves basically because of your da'as. You tell him what to do, and he does it. An animal moves on its own, of its own volition.
Yeah, if you're holding the reins, it won't go anywhere, but as soon as you start pulling it, it'll...
No, but that doesn't matter whether you're holding the reins or not. When an animal moves, it moves based on under its own steam, basically.
Well, this question, yeah. Evolution also.
Uh-huh. So you're going to answer that. Maybe you're talking about that. Let's say, so the animal started moving. You did kinyan mishicha. Now the animal stopped moving. And now maybe it can be considered a chotzer because it's not moving. And you're kind of can. We know as a general rule, which we learned in Gittin, that if you can't be kohen when something is walking, then you can't be kohen when it's standing or sitting either. We learned about that in connection with, because it always has the potential of moving. We learned about that as far as giving a get to a woman giving a get, a woman having a get given to her slave, to the hand of her slave, for example. The hilchasa b'kfusa, and therefore the halacha that Rabbi Lazar must be talking about, the case that he must be talking about, where he's even asking the question, must be if the animal is tied up. So therefore, so it's tied up. It's not capable of moving. So therefore, if he says that be kohen of the animal and be kohen of the kelim, there's no question. But then there's no question. It's like chater. So, but the only question is if he says you're not kohen of the animal, but I want you to only be kohen of the kelim, would that work as kinyan chater or not?
Even though right now it's tied, but yeah, he would have to untie it.
He'd have to untie. No, he's pulling it while he's pulling it. He's making a kinyan on it while it's tied. He's schlepping it along while it's tied. So therefore, it's not able to move on its own. So therefore, fine. That works as a kinyan mashicha. And there's no question, therefore, that fine, if therefore there are kalim on it, and he's kohen of the animal, and then he's kohen of the animal, and then he's kohen of the kalim as well. The question is, Rabbi Lazar's case, he's not kohen of the animal, he only wants to be machna of the kalim, does that work? Even when the animal is tied up. Okay. We don't know if that's it. And therefore, we said the halacha is that it doesn't work. Okay. Omrulayra papar from Hunabredir Bishul Rabba. Hello, Mayata. By that logic, if you're going to tell me that anything that moves can't be considered a chaser, suppose somebody is traveling in a boat, the chaser dogim and nachlo sechasfina, and fish jump out of the water and fall into the ship. Hachinami the chaser ma'alachasi, but like, honey, you're going to tell me it's moving chaser and therefore you can't be kaina? Omalay, he answered, Omalahu, whatever. So he answered them. A sfina is not considered a chatzar malach. Sfina menach naicha. The boat itself stays in one place. It's the water that moves it. Therefore, it's not considered something that it's not considered. It's not considered like an animal.
From Israel to America, and you're saying the ship is not moving. It's the water that's moving.
So when you're talking about nowadays, when they have motorboats and then diesel ships or whatever that they have nowadays, that's a different question. On the one hand, you could argue that yes, I mean they have a motor, they're self-moving, so they're not like the ships of the time of the Gemara. Or you could argue the fact of the matter is when an animal moves, its movement does not necessarily depend on you. Yeah, you can pull the reins and make it move, but it's also capable of moving on its own. Whereas a motorboat or whatever is still not going to move unless you start the motor and steer it and whatever. So you could argue either way. But anyway, the bottom line is, in the Gemara's time, they didn't have motorboats, so therefore a boat is something that itself stands still. It's just the water.
Yeah, but you could move the sail, and the water would hit the sail and go.
Fine, but that's so the wind is moving. Then fine, the wind, the water, whatever you want to call it. The point is, it's not something that moves itself. So that's the question. On the one hand, a motor makes that it moves by itself. On the other hand, you still need a person controlling it. I don't know. I guess once Google comes out with the self-driving car, then I guess you can ask the question again. I don't know. Fine, still by this logic that you're talking about that anything that moves is not considered a chaser. If you have a woman walking in Rosh Hashanah and the husband throws her a get into her bosom, into the folds of her clothes, or into kalta, into her work basket that she wears on her head. And that moves along with her. Hachinami dilemma garshi. You're going to tell me that's not a valid gerushin. Amalei, and he tells him similar idea. Kalsa meinach naicha. The kalsa stays in one place. And because the Mishnah, in fact, tells us that these things are valid. So why is that? Because the kalsa stays in one place. The eid become a sagi mitosa. She's just walking underneath it. It's moving along. It's moving because she's moving.
What's about the fact that it's just a rabbi?
So the one point is not necessarily are we talking about she's walking in Rosh Hashanah. We could, as a straightforward thing, we could say that she's talking that she's walking in a simta, in a side yard or whatever. Yeah, because your keli is not necessarily kohen for you in Rosh Hashanah. We learned about that in Gittin. The Gemara is going to discuss it later on in Bava Basra. Yeah. So the most straightforward way to say it is we're talking about an asimta. But Tosfos points out, by the way, the Gemara could have answered that the woman is also tied up, but it's a doichuk to say that. It's one thing to say that you're talking about an animal that's tied up and using it for a kinyan. It's another thing that a woman who's being thrown a get is tied up. That's true also, yeah. Okay. Good point, yeah. The thing is also, I mean, the expression is Havitha Mahalachas, but the Mishnah actually in Gittin over there doesn't say Mahalachas, just says that if she's in Rosh Hashanah, then Zorach L'Gittu will say Kalsa. So not necessarily does the Mishnah have to be, that Tosfos says, is the other thing is that we're not asking the wording of the Mishnah, we're asking the Svara. Once we establish the thing about the boat, so what about the Kalsa? Mishnah says, one person is riding on an animal, and then he sees a lost object, and he tells the other person who's walking along with him, give it to me, which it doesn't have to be that he's riding on an animal necessarily, but the Shittim Kabbalah talks about practically speaking, first of all, he'll be the first one to see it because he's higher up. Second of all, because it's on the animal, too much of a schlep for him to get down, so he asks the other guy to give it to him. So if the other person takes it and picks it up and says, I am zoich in it, good, then he's zoich in it. He's the one who owns it now, not the one who's riding on the animal. But if he gives it to the person riding the animal, and then he says, but you know what, I picked it up first, I was zoich in it, then when he said it doesn't count for anything, it's too late.
So the other one gets it.
The other one gets it. And Rashi says, because one way or the other, you look at it. If you say that the first one was koinet, fine, but he gave it to the second person as a gift. And if the first one was koinet on behalf of the second guy, good, then it was his all along.
Either way.
Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara starts off with a Mishnah in Peah that we're going to relate back to our Mishnah. It's not in Hoth. And we learn in a Mishnah in Peah. Misha Likitis a Peah, where if a person gathers Peah, and he says, I'm gathering this for Pliny, the poor person. Rashi carefully points out, by the way, we're not talking about the owner of the field himself, because the owner of the field himself has no business collecting pay. We're talking about another person. So in Reuven's field, Shimon goes in, picks some pay and collects some pay and says, I'm doing it for labor. And there are other mafarshim we talk about, maybe possibilities, maybe it could even be talking about the owner of the field, maybe, for example, as Gemara is going to say, soon he could be master of his property, so if he's master of his property, he could be master of his field as well.
Peah is the one that has two pieces of less, or as a...
No, that's less like it. Peah is the corner of the field, whether
you have to
be voting. Yeah. So, Rabbi Eliezer says, fine, he's zoche in it for the other guy. The Chachamim say, no, you just have to give it to the first owner, you're fine. You can't save it for anybody. This machloikas is where it's a rich person picking it on behalf of a poor person. So why are we saying that, so why does Rabbi Eliezer hold that such a thing works? The rich person himself is not allowed to take pay. Given that if this rich person were to be master his property, then he would be a poor person, and then pay would be something suitable for him. Then therefore, even that he hasn't been master his property, we can still consider it as something potentially suitable for him. And furthermore, a second migri, since then he would be able to be koine for himself, he's also able to be koine on behalf of somebody else.
Doesn't necessarily make him money if he gives up this field, because he has a house, he has other things also.
Oh, so the thing is, Rashi is saying, and Mephoshim explained Rashi to be saying, it doesn't make a difference. If the owner of the field himself, even if he were to be mafkir all of his property, including this field, the fact that Peah grew in his field, the fact that when it grew, it was his field, prevents him from ever taking Peah from this field. There are other Mephoshim who are not like that. They say that you don't necessarily have to be talking about a third party. You could even be talking about the owner of the field himself, because the same principle would hold true. He could be mafkir all of his property, the field, the house, the everything, and then he'd be able to collect Peah.
And then when he gets his money back, he doesn't have to repay the payer.
Also true, yeah. Do remember, though, we learned in the Nedarim that Midrabanan Hefker only works if you do it in the presence of at least two other people, so they can be Edim on it. So yeah. If he's master all the stuff for a little bit of pay, yeah. But anyway, the point is, Rabbi Eliezer says that using these two migers, the thing can work. V'rabbanan sabri, whereas the Rabbanan say, fine, I agree with that. We agree with those principles. However, chad migur amrinan, tre migur amrinan. However, we can't say two migurs. To say that the usher should be able to be zoche and pay on behalf of the poor person on the basis of two migurs. Number one, that he himself could be poor, and number two, that he could be maknet to somebody else, we're not going to go that far. Therefore, we can't be machnet to the other guy. Therefore, we just give it to the first oni that he finds.
Why do you need the second mingler? Then he go back into the second person, the first mingler.
Because that's what we're saying. He's not trying to be koneit for himself. He's taking it in order to be machnet to somebody else. Tefus lachem chad makom shal chad lachem. We're talking about tomorrow. Yeah. But makom shal chad lachem. If Reuben owes Shimon money, and then Levi were to take property from Reuben in order to pay Shimon, when meanwhile Reuben owes other people as well, we're going to learn tomorrow that doesn't work, because by what rights are you prejudicing everybody else's claim? He was the same kind of thing. Not Reb Nassan, that's Shibud Reb Nassan or something else, where Reuben owes Shimon and Shimon owes Levi. This is something else. It's Tofus Baal Chayv. You're grabbing something on behalf of a Baal Chayv, but Mokam Shechav Lachayv, in a case where the person you're taking from also owes other people. So you don't have the right to take something from him to pay off one creditor when you're then preventing all the other creditors from getting it. Here it's the same kind of thing, because you're preventing all the other anim from getting it.
Can you say it's your maknet here to begin with?
Well, that's what we're arguing according to Rabbi Eliezer, yes. Wait, avol oni lo oni, divrei hakol zochaloi. But if we're talking, but Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, if you're talking two anim, one oni collecting pay on behalf of another one, divrei hakol zochaloi, then everybody would agree that he's zochal for him. Because, yes, since he's zocher for himself, you only need one migur then.
But between the baal of the field and the...
We're not talking about the baal of the field. We're talking about the others over here. If you forget the baal of the field. If you have, again, Rabbi Yisroel ben Levi is saying that if it's a rich person collecting on behalf of a poor person, Rabbi Eliezer would say it works on the basis of the double migur. The Chachamim would say it doesn't work because you can't do a double migur like that. But where it's an oni and an oni, the oni himself, without resorting to any migur, is entitled to pay it just as much as the next one. Therefore, he can be zochen on behalf of somebody else. Of course, as long as he has less than 200 zuz. Yeah. Okay. Shall we?
Yeah.
Okay. What? That's it. You only need one migur. Okay, so then we'll continue tomorrow about the Shem, and the Gemara will relate that back to the case of our Mishnah, where one person asks the other one to give him a Matziah.